thine own self be true, and it must follow as the night and day. Thou canst not then be false to any man. Hell is empty, and all the devils are here. Love all, trust a few, do wrong to none. By the pricking of my thumb, something wicked this way comes. Open locks, whoever knocks. These violent delights have violent ends. Yeah.
All right, after summer vacation and all that shit, Fact Daddy is back. Guess who's back?
Back again. Thack is back. Tell a friend. Thack is back. Thack is back. Thack is back. Thack is back.
So, I'm just going to talk about some shit I've been watching. First thing I want to talk about, it's tacky. I don't care. Because you don't understand how much I love the Kung Fu. So, I watched Flying Guillotine 1 and 2. I think it was on Netflix. It's about this evil emperor who has an inventor create a guillotine that flies into the heads of adversaries and he decapitates them. But the thing is, he's a hyper tyrannical and paranoid, so he ends up having the people who master that technique kill each other. And eventually one of them leaves the group and they hunt him down, but they can never quite kill him. He always finds a way to kill them and get away. And then in the sequel, you know, they try to hunt him down again. You know, spoiler alert, the emperor does fucking die, and it's awesome. But, I mean, a lot of people die before the emperor dies, and that's not so awesome. Absolutely love it. It's a little more visceral, but, I mean, in terms of the level of tyranny involved, it's relatable. As far as like the egomania involved with someone of the status of emperor, you could see the lack of clarity in the vision of the emperor and his inability to just do anything the right way. Enjoy both those movies. Something I enjoyed, which I know a lot of people may despise or may not despise. I'm not sure. I don't keep abreast necessarily with reviews or internet buzz, but I enjoyed the shit out of that movie, Peppermint. I mean, in a nutshell, it's supposed to be a vigilante fantasy about a woman whose family gets murdered and then she seeks revenge. But let me tell you something. This movie was more like The Punisher than any of the Punisher movies made. I call her Frances Castle, even though the main protagonist is, her name is Riley North. But fuck, man, she was way more like Frank Castle in The Punisher. Like the comic book one who would just take people out and in a remorseless way because these individuals garnered, no pun intended, no remorse. They're the type of low-life cinematic scum who also exist in the real world. Because the cinematic scum are just representations and exaggerations of real human beings. But the type of individuals who, you know, extraordinarily cutthroat, short-term gain, no long-term vision, and it's just amazing. The fight choreography was brilliant. Jennifer Garner was great as Riley North, aka Frances Castle. The notion of this is like they say a revenge fantasy. Well, of course it's a revenge fantasy. The vast majority of human beings wouldn't take on special training in different parts of the world to get their comeuppance and vengeance for something that hollowed out their souls. The experience of losing loved ones murdered. And it was an intense experience, observationally. Like, it was just exactly what it was meant to be. A visceral vigilante fantasy. Now, there's no way we can possibly idealize vigilanteism because the amount of suffering the individual endured, the broken bones, the cuts, the bruises, the endless nights of just mourning what was lost and having no other path or track back to life but for the revenge. I think those are all like seriously like basic, simplistic, relatable things. Having the tough job, struggling with the economy, working hard, juggling work, juggling social obligations, and just having it all flushed down a drain, and having a corrupt, heartless system just completely ignore the depths of your misery. It works. It's a kind of catharsis. You know, when you do a fatality in Mortal Kombat, it's not like you really want to run around doing freaking fatalities to people. That would be horrific. But there's a certain catharsis just within the consciousness, the psyche of a human organism, where there's a level of frustration that you just need to cathartically be exposed to. None of us want to be Riley North. But under the circumstances, in her situation, seeing someone rise to the occasion and literally take a beating, and both psychically, spiritually, and emotionally, and to continue to fight and to do it well, it's just fucking enjoyable. I don't even need to get deep about it. It's just that simple. It's enjoyable. And the way it was shot, the way it was done, it was just good. I liked it for what it was, and what it was good. So, enough about that. I know I spoke a lot. I apologize for not saying this is a Thack Daddy experience brought to you by DVR Podcast. And I, of course, am the Thack Daddy. So, I was also enjoying something else on Netflix. I have not finished it. I only have 2 episodes left. The End of the Fucking World. Again, that was a really interesting show. I mean, for me, on a personal note, because I knew someone who wasn't really a sociopath, but tended to think he was. I mean, he's a very cool and creative person. And so when I was watching the show, I was watching this person who thought he was a sociopath or slash psychopath go through these issues while he met up with this girl who was just completely frustrated with her life, and how the adventure thus far was unfolding was really fucking weird, because on the one hand, like, he just was fascinated with the idea of killing this girl, and on the other hand, they were like becoming lovers and best friends, but on the other hand, she was like seriously just fucked up, and they eventually ended up in a really weird situation where basically they broke into this place, and the owner of the house turned out to be like a serial rapist, murderer of young women, and he was getting into the murder phase when he found that, you know, Goldilocks was in his house, and he was like the demonic version of all the three bears into one being, and he was like gonna kill her, and then the dude wasted him but threw up and freaked out and found out he wasn't a sociopath or a psychopath. He was just emotionally fucked up because he saw his mother kill herself when he was a child. So anyway, yeah, see, that's a lot of shit to be watching. Like, that's fucked up stuff, but it is what it is. The point being, the way it was done, the way it was shot, the way it was acted, I thought it was It was interesting. Because sometimes we tend to think that, you know, just for shock value, or people are creating things that are disturbing just to create them because they're disturbing, not to create them because at some point or some level of existence we're all disturbed by various aspects of our own psyche, personas, and behaviors that lie beneath everything. So, it's interesting. And that's a good thing. It can open up dialogues. It can just give you a different perspective or take on the world from someone else's viewpoint. Good storytelling always kind of opens the door to just a deep sense of reflection of self and how that self exists relative to other existences, and how you derive a sense of identity and where your ego sits in the mix of all of those things. It's like sort of like a critical juncture moment. I don't know. If my mic usage sucks, it's been quite a while since I've done this, so forgive me, please. Anyway, I think that show's pretty good as well, but I didn't finish it. I just felt that it was, like, too abbreviated, so I have a sense of how it ends, but I'm not. I'm really just going to wait to see what happens. Anyway, the last thing I'm going to talk about in this particular cast is Tokyo Ghoul. I'll be doing something separately on Westworld, so going forward, I might do both. I might do one. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's the nature of me. That's my experience. Anyway, Tokyo Ghoul. So, Tokyo Ghoul is an anime. It's about this kid, Ken Kaneki. He's a little book nerd guy. Has and lives a very simple life, relatively speaking, until he goes on a date. And it turns out his date is with a ghoul. And the ghoul, of course, ends up trying to eat him, but it doesn't work out that way because of some other ghoulish interference, and he ends up becoming a ghoul. Now, I'm sure the story has some kind of elaborate twist down the road, but what I really enjoy about the show is the evolution of Ken Kaneki, and in particular, the end of season one, where he has his epic encounter with one of the powerful ghouls called Jason. And Jason's backstory in a nutshell was that he was a ghoul. They called him, I think, an S or SS type. I don't fully recall which one, but he was hyper powerful. And he was tortured to the point where there was a kind of split in his psyche, and he took on this identity of Jason. And I think it's like an ode to the horror movie icon in America, Jason, but whatever, because he does wear a mask that looks like a hockey mask, kind of. But this guy was really seriously fucking crazy. And due to the fact that after Ken Kaneki transforms into a ghoul, he can regenerate at a rapid clip, this guy does the Mel Gibson payback torture, which is basically, you know, you're hammering the feet, like the toes, with an actual claw hammer, and he elevates that to where he's just literally removing all of the digits and letting them grow back and having him count backwards in, I think, groups of seven. Again, those kind of small details elude me from time to time, like right now. And Ken just completely loses his fucking shit. I mean, he has a lot of other moments where he steps up, but this was huge. This was the transformative moment where he just becomes like a completely different being, existing and imbuing a power beyond any previous power that he could exhibit. And it's a disturbing and transformative moment for a principal character. And I felt that the story amazingly manages to humanize such a dehumanized and kind of creepy,
group of creatures, which is the ghouls, because Ken still had like very humane aspects to himself. But that was a moment in time where he just snapped, where he could not retain his composure in any facet and felt the unshakable, unperturbable need to annihilate his tormentor, in this case, Jason. So I think you definitely got to watch that show, but you have to watch it literally episode by episode. You have to endure some of Ken's annoying behavior and whining about being a ghoul, and you have to suffer through his transformation. It's very rewarding at the end of the first season. The second season is also rewarding because, again, Ken is kind of a bridge between human beings and ghouls, and they go into further depth with that with season 3. I haven't watched season 3. I'm just giving like a cursory overview of the first two seasons. I'm not getting into the meat and potatoes of the metaphysical implications of the story, except you can examine it from a point of view of transformation, perseverance, suffering, evolution, and shifting perspectives, meaning that ultimately, the blueprint for what Ken can be has been laid out already in the beginning. It's been established that he is going to be some kind of conduit slash bridge between the worlds of human beings and ghouls. But to what extent, we don't know. But the third season kind of delves more into that reality. Which, in my opinion, means the fourth season should be even more elaborate in terms of the evolution of the character. The show has major character development, and it's a rapid fire complex action based show, but it's really good. I like it. I dig it. I think you would too. I don't really have a lot more to say about that. I just think it's fucking cool and you should check it out. So I'm back. Look for my Westworld cast, which I'm definitely going to be doing and putting up around the same time as this. I hope you continue to listen, those of you who do listen. And if you've never listened to this before and you enjoy it, that's great. And if you don't, that's perfectly fine too. That's kind of the beauty of life, isn't it? Anyway, hasta la pasta, it's the Thack Daddy. I'm over and out. I'll be doing my thing again real soon, so check it out if you can. Thanks.